Chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity, she shall be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord, and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or female. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering and for the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So these are some more ceremonial injunctions to teach a church under age certain things about God and his ways and his salvation. These things don't make much sense to us today. We are perhaps far removed from that. Yet in the biblical world in which this was written, these things made powerful sense and preached powerful sermons to the people of God. So let's see if we can enter into that understanding. First of all, let us remember that childbirth is, well, it's sometimes, let me say it this way, it always, and again, ladies, I'm not stealing your thunder here, I'm just the guy up front, but you know, in speaking about childbirth and, you know, childbearing, there is always, shall we say, fluids involved. Right, there are always fluids involved, and sometimes there is more or less the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood in Scripture, remember what God said to the people of Israel, that they were not to eat the blood, they were to pour it out like water whenever they killed an animal, because the life is in the blood. What they were to learn from that is God is the author of life. They don't get to take life away. They don't get to take it without due process, you know, at the Lord's command. Even an animal in the field that they would kill, they must drain the blood out and pour it out unto the Lord as water, because life belongs to him. So in any case of blood shedding in the Old Testament, that blood is seen to belong to God as the keeper of life, and so an atonement must be made for spilling what belongs to God. I know that's not a modern mindset at all, but this is the mindset of the Scriptures as it is presented to us here during the days of Moses and afterwards. So when a woman gives birth, not only are certain bodily fluids expunged, but also blood is shed. And when blood is shed, there is an atonement that must be made. She will be unclean for 7 days, and then she will offer, and she'll be clean after that. So that's what it says here in the opening verse of the passage, the opening 2 verses. She shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of separation for her infirmity. Infirmity there speaks toward the loss of blood. Okay? Now notice, on the 8th day, she will bring forth her son, if it is a son, for circumcision. Notice that she could not bring that son until after the 7 days of her purification. The 8th day is not only prophetic in Scripture of the New Testament and that New Testament Sabbath, which takes place on the eighth day. But also it is indicative here of her coming to the end of her ceremonial uncleanness, at least in the first stage of it. She was unclean for 7 days. After that 7 days, so she couldn't even, in other words, that uncleanness affected even the bringing of her son for circumcision. She could not do that until after those 7 days were complete. But then notice, she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. So take the 7 days and add 33 days to them, and you have a day, you have a period of time, 40 days long, when a woman gave birth in the Old Testament that she could not come to church for 40 days. Does that shock you? It is interesting to think about, isn't it? Unless that is, in the next section, she gave birth to a female. If she gave birth to a little girl, rather than a little boy, the days of her separation are then doubled. She has 2 weeks for the first stage of her separation for uncleanness, infirmity, and then she has 66 days remaining, such that she will be away from church now for 80 days. 80 days away for giving birth to a female child. Now, as you can imagine, commentators really go wild over why that is. Let me just give you what I think the Orthodox opinion is, and that is that we are to remember that the curse that belongs upon the woman at creation is a cursedness in her childbearing, and that if she gives birth to another cursed one, then that time of separation is doubled. I think it really is something that simple. That if she gives birth to a male child, 40 days and she's done. But if she gives birth to another female, that herself will have a monthly issue of blood and will also give birth one day following her and is related to Eve, who as a part of the curse will give birth in sorrow. That these are all reminders of that. Now, it's very interesting to think about when we come to the New Testament, and we see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, the Apostle Paul will say, as the curse is turned then back to life for the woman, that she shall be saved in childbearing. That there's a salutary thing that the Lord has preserved in Christ for women as they give birth, as they keep the home, and as they raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to the glory of God, if they continue in faith and hope with sobriety, as Paul will say there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In more pietistic days, with regard to my own understanding of things, I would understand that to mean that, and I still think that there is something to this, I would understand that to mean, you know, if we think of the curse as it comes upon Adam, he's now going to till the ground in his labor, and he will till it with much futility. And so he will be driven out of himself, if you will, to God in his labors, as his labors remind him of the cursedness and his sin. He will be reminded to go outside himself for deliverance from the curse. So also in childbearing, the woman will be reminded. This is a more church underage kind of reminder that we see here in Leviticus 12. But it is that same reminder, isn't it, that she must be driven outside herself for that cleanness, for that ritual, that ceremonial cleanness that she must get, which comes at the offering of an offering, and her acceptance then becomes not upon herself and not upon her own labors, but in that she is driven out of herself to the sacrifice of Christ. So I think those things are good and competent to remember as we think of Leviticus chapter 12. There's one more thing that I have to say, and I always talk about it when we come to Leviticus 12, because we will read in Luke chapter 2, I think it's long, about 23, I don't know, I have it here in my notes somewhere, but what will Mary do after she gives birth to Christ. What will she do? She will come at the eighth day, present him for circumcision, and then she will come 40 days after she gives birth, and she will offer her offering, two turtle doves, and she will be accepted. Huh. Where does that put the Immaculate Conception then? It rules it out of court. Mary herself was a sinner who, when giving birth to a son under the auspices of the Old Testament, still must offer for her weakness and sin, for the witness to the curse that she gives in the shedding of blood and in the waiting 7 days and then 33 more days before she can fellowship with the worshiping people once again. She gives witness not to an immaculate conception. She gives witness to her own sin. All right? Thus ends the reading then of Leviticus chapter 12.